Of late, a word that's been resonating in my heart and in my spirit, blessed. Don't you know that we are a blessed people? Amen? And that we serve a God who blesses us. How good and wonderful are the blessings of God? Isn't that the truth? Proverbs 10 and verse 22, we read this. It's the Lord's blessing that makes a person rich. I've shared that with you before. It's true. I will on occasion tell our kids, you might be the poorest among all your friends. We sort of live, Flushing is a bit of an affluent community. And I tell them, you might be the poorest. That may, in fact, be very true. It came up in conversation just this last week with Soph. You might be the poorest, and yet, without a doubt, you're probably the most blessed of any of them. You'll find lots of people with more money, but I believe it's true. I tell the kids, you'll probably not find even one that's more blessed. I believe that. And in a real sense, I'm glad for that. Isn't it true? Wouldn't you rather have the blessing of the Lord than wealth or riches? Think about it for a moment. This is true. It's the blessing of the Lord that brings us wealth. That's true. It's the blessing of the Lord that makes us able to work, that has given to us whatever our source of income. It's the blessing of the Lord that brings the promotion. It's the blessing of the Lord that brings the pay raise. It's the blessing of the Lord that brings increase to our bank account. But regardless the bank account and what it would be, I would rather have the blessing of the Lord. I really believe I can say that to you this morning in all truth and in all sincerity. Unless I miss my guess, you, even as you would think of that, would agree. You would testify with me. It really is true. Given one or the other, having to choose one or the other. Give me whatever I would want or ask for in my bank account, but give it at the cost of receiving the blessings of God. Or give me all the blessing of God, yet withhold from me monetary wealth and riches. I choose the latter over the former. You would too. If you had to choose, we would choose the blessings of God. How good and wonderful are His blessings. How we long for God to continue to bless us. Don't we love the thought of that? Even without knowing all that it would look like, a life blessed by God. Don't you want that? A year blessed by God that would be 2020. I don't even know what it would look like. I don't even know all that. I know I have my own ideas of what a blessed life or what a blessed year would look like. But as I look into the year ahead and step into the uncertainty of all the days that remain and what they might hold for me, not even knowing necessarily what it would look like or all that it would entail, a life blessed by God. If you offer me that today on January 12th, 2020, for the remainder of 2020, Pastor, I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what the blessed life is going to look like for you. I don't know all that it would hold for you, but Pastor, here's the blessed life. Do you want it? I say yes, I do. You say yes, I want it, the blessed life. We want to live there. The blessings of the Lord are good, aren't they? I've been thinking of that. It's been on my heart related maybe most of all to this new year, maybe to a bit of a change in perspective related to God's blessings on us. A lot of times we think of God's blessings that we would pray for God's blessing, that we would ask God to bless us. And we do that, don't we? We pray, we ask God for his blessings. And because our message is going to be different from that, let me pause here to encourage you. Pray that prayer. Pray for the blessings of the Lord upon your life. Ask God to bless you. Don't be afraid to pray that prayer. It's good for us to do that. It's right for us to do that. And I understand this morning that sometimes we can overdo it. I know sometimes we can become sort of way too self-centered in our prayers. More concerned for us, more concerned for our well-being, more concerned for God's blessing on us, not enough concerned about his kingdom growing through us or because of us, his likeness seen in us. But hear me this morning, despite sometimes the overdoing it that we can do in our God bless me prayer, don't discount the power and the importance of the simple prayer that would be, God bless me. God, I pray your blessing upon my life. Pray that prayer for yourself. And while praying it for you, why not become a great intercessor? Why not become a better intercessor? And pray it for your brother. Pray it for your sister as well. Pray it over your family. Pray it over your home. Pray it over the church. It's good. It's right. It's fine for us to do that. When we finish this morning, I'm going to pray God's blessing over your life. I'm going to pray for you that God would bless you. So though it's not our message this morning, And we sort of take a moment here, because from here, the message is going to be that we don't have to pray. We don't have to ask. I want to make sure you hear this then first. It's okay. It's right and good. And in fact, we ought to be doing it, praying for the blessing of God upon our lives and upon our families. Here's the thing. Again, a little bit the change in perspective that I've been impressed with. My heart and my mind has been sort of captivated by this idea of the blessing of God. It's this. I think as we read through Scripture, there is this. We don't always have to pray for the blessing of God. We don't always have to ask. We don't always have to hope that God would bless. Oh, I hope God blesses my day. Oh, I hope God blesses this new year. I think Scripture reveals to us this. We can make the blessing of God happen in our lives. Do you understand this morning? We don't have to ask him to do it. We don't have to pray that he would. We can make the blessing of God. In other words, we can be proactive in experiencing the blessing of the Lord. We can make it happen. That's the encouragement to you today. That's the message for us today. Don't just hope that this new year is filled with God's blessings. Don't even pray that it'll be blessed. Make it happen. Make it be blessed. Make it be a blessed year. Make it a blessed entire year. This morning I want to share with you a few verses of Scripture from Psalm 1 that reveal to us how we do that, how we can guarantee for ourselves in this new year the blessing of God upon our lives, upon the year. We're probably, maybe, going to spend even a few weeks here considering other verses that convey to us sort of the pathway to blessing, if you will. Before that, though, this, I want to begin this morning assuring you, convincing you if you're not already convinced, making sure you know and are fully confident in this, that it really is true, God wants you blessed. You believe that this morning? God wants you blessed. I don't know the details of God's plan for you right now. Certainly not throughout this new year. I don't know all that the year is going to hold for you. I don't know all that God is going to lead you to and lead you through. I don't know all the places that God is going to take you. I don't know the mountaintops. I don't know the valleys that you're going to experience. I don't, you don't, none of us do. But I do know this. God wants to bless you. God wants you living a blessed life. Jeremiah 29 and 11 says as much, doesn't it? A familiar verse of scripture. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God's plan, we could summarize all of that that God has for us simply with the word, it's the blessing of the Lord. God has a plan to bless us. God has a plan to bless you today. God's plan for you tomorrow is to bless you tomorrow and throughout the year the same. One author writes the following: blessing is God's default setting. His first and foremost reflex. Think about that for a moment. His first, many of us have the idea that God's first and foremost reflex is to whack us over the head when we've done wrong. We think that's God's default setting and that he just watches us, waiting for us to mess up so he can give us a swift kick. How about this? God's first and foremost reflex is to bless his people. God never sleeps nor slumbers, but imagine in the context of our thinking and how we would perceive it, God wakes up and the first thought on his mind, how can I bless my people today? The first thought that comes to his mind when he thinks of you, how can I bless my son? How can I bless my daughter today? Isn't that a good thought? His first and foremost reflex to bless. God wants to bless you beyond your ability to ask or imagine. God has blessings for you in categories you can't even conceive of. Think of that for a moment. All the things that you would think, I need God to bless me in this. I need God to bless me in that. I need God to bless me in my finances. I need God to bless me in my work. I need God to bless me in my relationship. All the things that you could think of. Listen, there are blessings that God has for you in categories that you can't even think of. Wouldn't even begin to think of. The author goes on to say, God is in the blessing business. And watch this now. And as his children, blessing is our birthright. I want you to think of that for a moment. Unless I miss my guess, some of us might have a little bit of difficulty grappling with that. I want you to hear it. I believe it's absolute truth. God's in the blessing business, and as his children, blessing is our birthright. Ephesians chapter 1, we read this: Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms, here you go, with every spiritual blessing in Christ. In his book, Double Blessing, I've shared with you before, it just captivated my heart. Taking my time, I'm sort of a slow reader getting through a book, but reading the book for probably going on a couple of months now, and this early in the book, from the very beginning, just sort of captured my heart. Shared with you a few times, I think even last week. Let me remind you, he writes, of the latitude and longitude of God's blessing. At Bethlehem, he's God with us. At Calvary, he's God for us. At Pentecost, he's God in us. God with us is joy unspeakable and the peace that passes understanding. God for us is his favor, the X factor between the best we can do and the best God can do. And God in us is power, resurrection power. That's the blessing. All that God does inside of you, all that God gives to you, beginning simply with this, his joy and his peace. That's God's blessing. And I say it this morning without hesitation and with absolute confidence. God wants to bless your entire new year. God wants you living each and every day in his peace. Doesn't matter what you're going through, because his is a peace that passes understanding. In other words, his is a peace that makes no sense. His is a peace that comes when you ought not to have any peace because of the trouble that you're going through. God wants your new year blessed with the work of his peace, saturating your inner spirit, and his joy. God wants you blessed. That's God's blessing, His favor that He puts upon you. Again, favor, it's one of those words not necessarily clearly defined for us, where God's favor upon your life is going to look like this and this and this and this. You can mark God's favor A, B, C, D. When you see A and then you see B and C and D, you know you have God's favor. We don't necessarily know what God's favor looks like, but again, it's one of those words without knowing all that it entails. Don't you want it this morning? God's favor, yes, I want to live in God's favor. I want to experience God's favor. That's God's blessing, His power that He makes available to you. In Ephesians 1, the word of the Lord, I ask that your minds be open to see His light so you'll know the hope with which He's called you, how rich His blessings that He promises people, and how very great is His power at work in us who believe. This power working in us is the same as the mighty strength which He used when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at the right side in the heavenly world. God wants to bless you with His power so that you can say with confidence, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hear me this morning. Some of you, you know that verse oh so well, and yet the reality, you deny its power in your life. Because you would sit here this morning, and to some of the things even that God has called you to, some of the things that God's wanting to do in you and through you, your default response would be, I can't. God wants you to heal the sick. God wants you to go out and change this community for Jesus. I can't. I'm just not smart enough. I'm not creative. I'm not outgoing. I'm not dynamic enough. I can't. You need to understand this morning, God has blessed you. God would bless you. God wants to bless you today, each and every day, with His power so that you can say with confidence, no matter what He's asked you to do, no matter where He's wanting to take you, no matter how He's wanting to work through you, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am the victor. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. That's God's blessing. Batterson continues, the blessing of God is this. If you know God's with you, no matter what, you can get through anything. And if you know God's for you, you can overcome every obstacle in your way. And if you know God's in you, nothing can stop you. That's the blessing. God with us, God for us, God in us. God wants to bless you. One author writes, of this I'm certain, the blessing of God is the solution to your biggest problem. What's your biggest problem today? You know what you need? You need the blessing of the Lord upon your life. The blessing of the Lord is the solution to your biggest problem, the answer to your boldest prayer, and the fulfillment of your bravest dream. Make no mistake about it. Don't doubt it. Don't question it. Know it with confidence, even with absolute certainty. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless me. Listen to me, New Life. God wants to bless us. Believe that today, that God in your life, I'm not talking about somebody else's life. I'm not talking about the TV preacher. I'm not talking about the dear precious saint who's got it all together. I'm talking about you and me, us right here in the room. God in your life, in my life, in this church is in the blessing business. And listen to me today. Blessing is your birthright. Blessing is your birthright as His child. It's the word of the Lord today that in Jesus, God has granted to us every spiritual blessing. Now, with that, we would add this. One author writes, God doesn't bless disobedience. God doesn't bless pride or greed or laziness either. We've got to position ourselves for God's blessing. And that's really, in a sense, the heart of our message this morning. God's desire, God's plan, God's will is to bless you in the coming year. I know there's a lot of things that we could say, but if you ask me this morning, and I believe it's something that the Lord has laid on my heart for us as a church, because again, we may spend a few weeks in this idea of God's blessing, how we walk and how we live, how we sort of guarantee God's blessing upon our lives. I know there's a lot of things that we could say in response to that. What's God's blessing, Pastor? What's God's will for me in the coming year? Again, not sure all that it would entail, not sure exactly how it looks, other than to simply say God wants to bless you and his will is to bless you. He wants to. It's what he does. It's what he thinks of when he thinks of you, to bless you. What we discover in Scripture is that God has laid out for us, if you will, how we experience that, how we live in that. And though, remember, praying for God to bless you is okay. It's right and good. But it's not really about us praying for his blessing. It's not about us asking or hoping. What we discover in Scripture is the way in which we make that blessing to happen. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Let me carry the thought through. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Again, let me carry it through. Blessed is the man who is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff which the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord, let me carry the thought through, for the Lord watches over the way of the blessed man, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let me share with you a few thoughts here this morning. The first is this: we are blessed by separation. We're blessed by separation. The things you don't do, the people you avoid. Blessed is the one who doesn't walk with the wicked. Blessed is the one who doesn't do the wicked things, the things that wicked people do. Blessed is the one who doesn't walk in the way of wickedness. Blessed is the one whose life path is not defined and described by wickedness. That person is blessed. Do you understand the thought this morning? Don't have to pray for God to bless you. You don't have to ask God to bless you. You don't have to hope that he blesses you. Though certainly it's all okay to do that. Listen, you can simply walk. What's the opposite of wickedness? You can walk in the way of righteousness. And according to Psalm 1, you will be blessed. You don't have to pray. You don't have to ask. You don't have to hope that he does. He will. Your life will be blessed as you avoid the wickedness and walk in the way of righteousness. Things you don't do. People that you would avoid. All that you would do in life to navigate away from that which would be deemed wicked according to the word of the Lord. All that you would do to walk in the ways of righteousness as defined by God's word. Psalm 5 in verse 12. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Can I ask you this morning, what do you know about how God defines wickedness? What do you know about how God defines righteousness? Can I ask you this morning, are there areas of your life not described as righteous? You would bring blessing. You would add blessing to your life by praying for it or asking for it, but by simply living in the righteousness that brings it, the righteousness that guarantees it. Can I say it that way this morning? Avoid the way of the wicked. And according to Psalm 1, without even asking, without even praying, you will be blessed. It's a good time for us to evaluate our lives. We pray the prayer of the psalmist, search me, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me. Wicked is a strong word. And I think for most of us, long time in the faith, our initial reaction, no, there's no wickedness. I maybe struggle a little bit every now and then. There might be some temptations that the devil throws at me, and sometimes I fail. I might sometimes talk way I shouldn't necessarily talk, and we tend to look lightly on our sin, treat lightly our sin, just a little failure, just a little mess up, just made a little bit of a mistake. Be careful. Be careful in calling wicked good and good wicked. We recognize our sin for what it is. We recognize our failure for what it is. And today, a good day to evaluate as we consider the blessing of the Lord. I walk in the way of righteousness, and my life will be blessed. So I consider, where do I need to divert from the path that I'm on? Because there's wickedness there. There's compromise there. There's things that displease God there. There are unhealthy things there. And how do I move so I am smack dab in the middle of the way of righteousness where the blessings of God are freely and abundantly manifested in my life? Number two, we are blessed. We'll call this by meditation. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Can I ask you this morning, what do you delight in? Hopefully you have a long list in answer to that. Hopefully his word, the law of the Lord, is high on that list. Again, as we carry the thought through this idea of blessing, blessed is the one, blessed is the man, blessed is the woman who separates themselves from evil, and verse 2, who delights in God's word, who meditates day and night on God's word. Can I ask you this morning, what consumes your thought life? And maybe I would ask the question another way, though it's along the same lines. How much of your thought life is consumed by God's word? I'm going to tell you this morning, according to Psalm 1, you can add God's blessing to your life without having to pray for it, without having to ask for it, without hoping that God blesses you. You can add the blessing of the Lord to your life by simply letting your thought life be more and more consumed by his word, by his promises, by his truth. Philippians chapter 4, again, a familiar verse of scripture. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, you know it, think about such things. We could say it this way, meditate on those things, whatever's true, whatever's noble, right, pure, excellent, praiseworthy, that's the thing that you want your mind to be consumed with. If it doesn't fit under that description as something that's true, something that's noble, something that's lovely, something that's admirable, something that you would set on display. Oh, look how beautiful, look how wonderful, look how amazing that thought is. If you wouldn't put it on display, what Paul tells us in Philippians, it ought not to be up there. Get rid of it and think only on those things that are true and noble and right and excellent and lovely. In a real sense, that can ultimately only mean one thing, the Word. Maybe we would say it this way, think on what's true. Well, if you think on what's the most true, it's God's Word. Think on what's noble. What's the most noble? What's the most right? What's the purest? What's the loveliest? What's the most admirable? What's the most excellent? What's the most praiseworthy thing? It's God. It's God's Word. Surely the Word is what our minds need to be filled with and our minds consumed by. One author writes, the Bible is God's written word. Jesus is his living word. Whatever our concerns and anxieties, we must place our thoughts on the words of the Bible and the Savior from heaven. That doesn't mean we ignore our problems. It means we put them in the right perspective by giving our primary mental energy to him who can solve the issues of life and his word. Anxiety is difficult to manage, but foundational to every treatment is the memorization and meditation of Scripture. When the Word of God is coursing through our mind day and night, it keeps our thoughts filtered and pure and clean. Find a verse today and focus your thoughts on it all day and all night. If there's thinking that's not true, that's not noble, you need less of whatever it is making you to think that way, and you need more of the Word. You need your mind less consumed by that and more consumed instead by the Word. And again, that maybe sounds easier said than done. Pastor, how do I do that though? I just can't get that out of my mind. Well, here's how you do it. You make it so that there's no room in your mind for that. How so? You fill your mind with God's Word. You run to God's Word. Oh, here comes the bitterness again. Here comes the anger again. Here comes the unforgiveness to my mind again. Here comes the resentment to my mind again. No, I run to God's Word. Whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's excellent. No, God loves me. God's for me. God's with me. No, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. No, he who's began a good work in me will bring it to completion. And you begin to fill your mind with that so that the other is pushed out. There's no room for it. And your mind then becomes consumed. God's Word coursing through your mind and through your heart. It'll change your thinking. God's Word, more of God's Word in your mind, it'll change your thinking. It'll change your life. And without having even to pray or to ask for it, it'll bring to you the blessings of God. So much of life that troubles us, it's a problem, I believe, of perspective. You remember the children of Israel about to enter the promised land, and 12 spies went in, and they all saw the same thing. They all had the same experiences, but you understand, 10 of them had a perspective of defeat. There are giants in the land. We can't do it. 2 of them had a perspective of God's word, the true, the right, the noble thing. God's promises are sure. Let's go. We can take the land. One author writes of that experience. You've probably seen the drawing of the duck and the rabbit. It's a single image that viewed from one perspective looks like a duck. Viewed from another perspective, looks like a rabbit. Another example is the drawing of a single figure that from one angle looks like a haggard old woman, from a different angle looks like a beautiful young woman. How one sees the image is all a matter of perspective. When Moses sent in the 12 spies, the men returned with different perspectives. 10, there are giants in the land, we can't. But 2, God's with us, we can. We can trust God and his promises. Watch this. We can trust God the same way Joshua and Caleb did if our perspective is biblical. God keeps his promises to his people. So we fill our minds with God's word. We fill our minds with the truth of His Word, the assurance of His promises. And according to Psalm 1, watch this, it changes our perspective from defeat to victory. It changes our perspective from we can't to we can. It changes our perspective, God's out to get me and just watches for me to mess up, to one of my inheritance, my birthright is one of blessing. God's default response when He thinks of me is, how can I bless my son? How can I bless my daughter? And in turn, watch this, that brings blessing to our lives, because now we're living in victory. We're living without worry. We're living without fear. We're living without concern of whether or not God really does love us, and God really, whether or not God really is for us, with us. Number three, and we'll be quick, we're blessed by, we'll call this maturation. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever He does prospers. This is our growth in God. This is God at work in us to develop us and mature us. In Ephesians chapter 4, it's He who gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. This is the process where God prepares us for the work He's planned for us, the work that He's ordained for us. This is the process wherein we become discontent with becoming consumers only, and instead we want to fulfill God's call and God's plan. We want to be producers for the kingdom. Can I ask you this morning, as it relates to the kingdom, are you a consumer or are you a producer? And can I ask you this morning, if you're a consumer, are you still just a consumer? Has there been any growth? Are you getting closer to being a producer than you were yesterday or you were last year? We ask God to grow us in Him, to bring us to a place of maturity, a process where we submit to the work of God in us so that He can keep working on us to make us more, look more and more like Jesus. Can I ask you that question? Do you look more like Jesus today than you did yesterday? Come on now. You've been saved for 15, 20 years. How is it that you're still struggling with the same old thing? When are you finally going to begin to look like Jesus in that area? You've been struggling with gossip for 20 years now. Isn't it time that we grew up in the faith and begin to look like Jesus in how we talk? Been struggling with the bitterness, been struggling with the unfair. When are you finally going to look like Jesus and let that thing go and offer mercy and grace and bring redemption and restoration and healing? This is the solidifying our faith, not tossed about by the cunning and crafty deception of the enemy. This maturation, this is growing up in Jesus. Hebrews warns us in chapter 5, some ought to be teachers, but they're still needing to be taught. They haven't matured. They're living on milk still when they should be having the solid food. Again and again, the command of Scripture, grow. Hebrews 6, leave the elementary stuff and go on, grow on to maturity. This is God producing in us the fruit of His Spirit. This is God producing through us fruit for His kingdom. It's God making us grow in Him so that we might be more effective for Him. Again, listen, it may sound odd. I understand that. But hear me, you get the heart of the message this morning. You understand it. You don't necessarily need to pray or ask God to bless you. You need to simply grow in your relationship with Him, and the blessing will naturally come as a result of that. The more you grow up in Jesus, the more your life will be a blessed life. And I'm gonna tell you this morning, if your growth has stalled, so then will the blessing. But you decide to pick up that mantle again today. I'm going to get hungry again today. I'm going to thirst again today for the living God. I'm going to grow. I'm going to let Him continue. I'm going to open my heart more. I'm going to open my heart deeper so that God can take the power of His Word, the double-edged sword of His Word, and go deep within my heart to begin to assess my motives, begin to assess my thoughts. Everything about me, I open up so that God can work on me and in me to grow me, and as a result, as He does, mine's going to be a blessed life, guaranteed. Again, the encouragement: don't ask for the blessing, make the blessing happen. In Psalm 1 and verse 3, make the blessing happen. Determine now. Don't wait to see whether or not 2020 is going to be a blessed year for you. Make it blessed now. Grow in your relationship with God. What are you going to do to grow in your relationship with God? How are you going to read the Word more? That's one of the ways we grow in our relationship with God. How are you going to commit more to prayer? That's one of the ways we grow in our relationship with God. What are you going to fast this year? How often are you going to fast? What are you going to do as it relates to sharing your faith? That's one of the ways we grow in our relationship with Jesus. We share our faith. There's spiritual maturity that comes as we do that. How are you going to be more committed to your church? How are you going to be more committed to your brothers and sisters? Determine, make it happen. Make this to be a blessed year. Determine today, right here, right now, I'm going to grow in my relationship with God. You do that, and according to Psalm, you won't have to pray for God to bless. You won't have to ask Him to bless you. He will bless you in accordance to His Word. Finally, we're blessed by destination. Ultimately, it brings us to verse 6. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous. God's blessing is His default setting. So hear me this morning. God will always lead you to blessing. Isn't that really what Romans 8 promises us? And we know that all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God and are fitting into His. Couldn't we say it that way? Couldn't we know all that's happening is taking us to blessing. Where are you going? Where are you headed? Blessing. I'm going. No, wait a minute. You're in the middle of the valley. What are you talking about? No, I stand upon God's word that in all things, God is working for our good. God's taking me to bless. Well, you just lost your job. No. It doesn't matter the job. It doesn't matter the health. It doesn't matter the financial situation. It doesn't matter anything about my circumstances, because God is true. Let every man be a liar. God is truth. God is the truth. And His word, I stand upon it. It's true. I hold to it. He's taken me to blessing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession. Again, that's a beautiful verse, and we almost dare not mess with it. But couldn't we say it? God's always leading me to blessing. Thanks be to God who always leads me to blessing in Christ Jesus. You don't need to ask God to bless you. You just need to follow Him. Let Him lead you. Tomorrow, when you wake up, let your first thought be, God, what do you want to do in me today? How do you want to use me today? Where are you going to take me today? God, I'm listening to what your spirit would say to me. And when God calls you to go pray for that person, when God calls you to call them up and speak an encouraging word, when God asks you to pause for a minute and begin to pray for our missionaries, when God causes you to stop, to check up and to say, wait a minute, what about some time with me? What about the devotional time? What about some prayer time? What about giving up this lunch time and spend it with me? And said, in that moment, when God begins to speak, you attune yourself to His voice and you follow His guiding and you follow His leading. You follow His direction. Listen, you won't have to pray. You won't have to ask. Yours will be a blessed life as you follow the leading and the guiding and the directing of the Lord. Submit yourself to Him. Follow Him. And your ultimate destination will be blessing. So here it is this morning. I pray that you're fully confident. God wants you blessed. He wants you. He has ordained for you the blessed life. Some of you this morning, I speak this compassionately, sincerely. Listen, you need to stop doubting that. You need to begin. Some of you, you beat yourself up. You make yourself to think of yourself as such a failure. God doesn't want to bless me. God barely tolerates me. If he didn't have to, I don't think God would want anything to do with me. Listen, the devil's lying to you. And you got to stop listening to the lies. And you got to hear the word of the Lord. God's desire, God's plan, God's default setting when he thinks of you is to bless you. You need to begin to accept that. Receive that. Live in anticipation. I pray your thought as you leave this morning, how's God going to bless me the rest of the day? Because he wants to. I pray it's your thought when you wake up tomorrow morning. I know it's going to be a Monday morning. I have no idea how last week was or how this week will be. But I pray you wake up tomorrow morning. I wonder how God's going to bless me this week. I wonder what God's going to do. I wonder the goodness of the Lord that I'm going to experience. Blessing is your birthright. Tell that to the devil the next time he comes and haunts you with thoughts that you don't deserve God's blessing. You're not going to get God's blessing. Let him know who you are in Jesus. Blessing is your birthright in him. And with that, the message this morning, again, please don't misunderstand. Pray. Ask him for his blessing for sure. But hear the word of the Lord this morning. Some ways you don't need to. Blessing will be yours, guaranteed. If you turn away from the harmful, from the wicked habits, if you rededicate yourself to his word, if you let him grow you up in him, if you follow, if you submit yourself to his guidance and his direction, listen to me, you do that and you will be blessed. So, do that. Don't wait for it. Spend all your time praying and make it happen. Make it happen. Make the blessing happen for you. Be blessed today, this week, this coming year. So in light of all that I've said this morning, I say this. I pray that you would be. I'm going to be praying for you, that God would bless you. I'm going to be praying for you that you would do the things that would make your life to be blessed, guaranteed. And this morning, even I would declare his blessing over you. Would you stand? I have something to give to you this morning. So this is what you do when somebody here, I have this for you, you reach out. Would you just extend your hands to receive this morning? May the Lord hold you and keep you. May the Lord give you comfort. May the Lord shine his face upon you and give you his favor and his peace. May the Lord bless you. Amen. Father, this morning, I pray for your blessing over this people. Not only today, but in fact the week and the year to come. I do that because it's okay for us to pray and to ask for your blessing. I pray that you bless me. I pray that you bless my family. I pray that you bless Jenny. I pray that you bless each of my kids that sit here in this room. I pray that you bless Denny away to school. I pray your blessing on this church. I pray your blessing upon each individual in this room. I pray your blessing on each family. I pray your blessing upon sons and daughters, grandsons and granddaughters. I pray your blessing on this church. I do that because it's right and it's good and acceptable. It's okay for us to do that. We ought to do it. But Lord, this morning as well, we want to hear what the Word says to us that would guide us and lead us in the way of blessing. Where, Lord, if we would just do what you've revealed to us to do, the blessing would come. And so, Lord, today, by your Spirit, would you speak to each heart in this room? I don't know what it would look like for them, but to step away from some of the wicked into harmful things and step into righteousness. A rededication, a greater commitment, a greater hunger for your Word. Father, would you grow us in you? Today, throughout this week, help us to submit more and better to your guiding and leading in our lives. And Father, I thank you for the assurance and the confidence. If we do that, if we do those things, we will be blessed.